I prefer when we just like when we just start recording randomly while we're talking, and then we just kind of fade in.
Okay,
But
okay. Well, let's just start a conversation. So,
Jeff,
that?
commencing conversation. In 3, 2, 1. How about those common people?
Those common people, you can't trust them. You can't trust them.
Sleep with common people.
This
All
is
right.
The real world.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, or
and escape from reality.
Reality, open your. Okay, we can't sing Bohemian Rhapsody.
We were gonna talk it, weren't we?
Talking doesn't work.
Okay, when you're not Shatner.
When you're as autistic as we are, almost as autistic as Shatner, then it's very difficult.
Okay, wait. We're not supposed to be talking about William Shatner. We're supposed to be talking about the greatest Gundam ever. Gundam 0080, War in a Pocket, from 1989.
The Pocket? Yeah.
Zeon Pocket?
War in the Pocket. Anyway, let's keep going.
Why don't you go ahead and lead it off?
Oh, really? All right. I can do this.
Or do you want me to do it?
Don't really mind. Yeah, we're recording, as Jeff said, the best Gundam, which, you know, I could probably say that. The first ever Gundam OAV, and the first Gundam to not be directed by Yoshiyuki Tamino, making it better than most of the Gundam which came before it, or all of it, came after Shar's counterattack, and as Jeff said, it's 0080. This is a 6-episode OAV series, half-an-hour episodes, with character designs by Haruhiko Mikimoto, who you may know from Macross, and also written by the same guy who wrote Wings of Oniamis, Hiroyuki Yamaga, and then went on to direct some crappy shows that nobody should watch.
Probably just stick to writing,
because whenever he directs, it's like maid time.
Maid?
Time for something aromatic. But yeah, this is a show which is pretty near and dear to our hearts, and we're reviewing it today because it is Christmas time, and this is the only Christmas thing I can stomach.
Yep. Unlike Fuckman, Christmas Land.
Yeah, seriously, Fuckman.
We were on that show. But
we were with Jeremy talking about eugenics and white people and how they're evil, apparently.
Pretty much. That aside, back to Gundam 0080.
I guess the story of this show is pretty unique from other Gundam shows. I mean, just after this, you had the, you know, the climactic confrontation, in air quotes, between Shar and Amuro, and the final, in air quotes, fight between Zeon and the Federation. And then, you know, after that, they made something which is a lot smaller in scale. This is a one-year war story. And the basic plot, I guess, is that it involves a neutral colony during the one-year war, the Rear Republic, which is secretly creating arms for the Federation, or stationing arms to the Federation, and a Zeon team, which has to go and basically try and destroy this Gundam, which is on this neutral colony. Which sounds like a fairly Gundam-y plot you have there. You've got, you know, a prototype Gundam, as you do, and you have the Zeon team trying to destroy it. But what makes this very different is that it focuses primarily on civilian viewpoints during the war. So it focuses primarily on the viewpoint of Alfred Izuhara. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, and he is like 10 years old.
Very young.
Would you count him as the protagonist of the show?
I would, yeah. Even though it's an ensemble cast, I think it's primarily about his development. He's the one who gets the most development over the course of this show. But yeah, so he's this kid who isn't unlike, say, a Gundam fan. He thinks that Zeon is really cool and that war is cool. And he plays war with his friends and he draws Zakus in class and gets told off by the teacher and stuff like that. And basically, not to go too far into the plot, but he ends up getting wrapped up in the conflict when he basically becomes a spy for the Zeon soldiers because his dad works at Federation base and they start basically getting him to go and take pictures of the Federation equipment And he develops this relationship with Bernard Wiseman, who is a rookie soldier who's been transferred into this special operation team and basically has to look after the kid. And he's a guy who's never, killed somebody in his life. He's a rookie pilot. And basically, it's a short show, and it develops into this kind of Shakespearean tragedy, or maybe Tominoan, is that a word? A tragedy.
Tamino, that should be a word. Tamino is something of his own, but Tamino had nothing to do with the show. And what's weird about the show is that they have like a few things here and there that do kind of have that Tamino-esque feel. Like there's this one character in the show with a Tamino name, Commander Killing.
Commander Killing, yes. Well, I would argue that the show was still, even though it definitely had a departure from the gun formula, if that existed at this point, it still builds upon Tamino concepts. It just does them in the most un-Tamino way possible. I mean, a good example of this is in Tamino shows, there's always some kind of melodrama with the main character's family life. And this can be done very well. I mean, I'm not saying melodrama is bad, but say in the original Gundam series, you have Amuro, who,
Being disowned by his mother, and in
after he killed
Zeta.
him. Yeah, in Zeta, you have Camille murdering his parents by accident, both of them. In this, though, I mean, it's not melodramatic at all. It's this very quiet, strained relationship, as you see that Al's parents are not talking to each other and they're going through a divorce, and you
They
can
say
see.
absolutely nothing about it at all until the last episode.
Yeah, though you can tell that there's something wrong there, just through these very quiet, strained moments between him and his father. And this whole show is completely rid of the typical melodrama and kind of wackiness of other anime. I mean,
And
the
that
child.
is, sorry.
No, it's fine, keep going.
Sorry. I mean, and that's where I feel as though this show, like, in that it has some of these Tamino ideas, and it has like the Gundam, and it's set in the Gundam universe. From that, just like these, not only these presentations, but also just like the general feel of the show just doesn't feel like a Gundam show. And in Gundam, you had people basically screaming ideology down each other's throats. I mean, unless it was a really bad Gundam, like, I don't know, Char's Counterattack or something? I don't know.
Well, I
But.
mean, they all had ideology, but often it was lofty. And essentially, you had Tamino dialogue, which was shouting odd, random things which felt out of place and awkward.
Stuff
And
about the
it's
environment and.
not about the environment, or even just like there's something about when Tamino doesn't have somebody holding him down, there is something about his dialogue, as I said before, which is just strange. And it's hard to put your. It's just like the characters don't communicate in a realistic way. But everything about this show is just down to earth. I mean, I think a good example is just the way the kids act. They don't act like cutesy anime kids. They act like real children. And all the interactions in the show, none of them feel forced, and none of them feel like anybody's overacting.
Yeah. And like, I mean, like, you just have like people, kids playing pranks on each other, and they don't feel like too romanticized. They feel very natural. Like, the very first scene, you see Al basically just goofing off in class, drawing mobile suits and monsters. Girl next to him's all like, pay attention! And he cranks up the volume in her earphones and he gets in trouble. So, like, you already see him just being a normal kid. But that aside, yeah, feels
Definitely.
very natural.
I really like the interactions between the characters in the military in this show as well, where none of the characters in this just fell into a mobile suit. They're all military characters, and they all act like it. When you look at like the Cyclops team, which is the main Zeon team in this show, they all look like they're from the military, and the dialogue between them is very it's very reminiscent to me of World War I fiction. Where you have people saying stuff like, "Hey man, you're going to be sent to Stalingrad for that. You're going to be dead there," which really reminds me of like in World War I fiction. You have people saying like, "Oh, you're going to be sent to the front, to the trenches. You'll have no hope there." And the dialogue just feels much more naturalistic, as does this whole show.
Yeah. Speaking of World War I literature, one thing that I noticed about 0080 that also is very different from other Gundam shows, which I think I was trying to get at earlier with the ideology, is that oftentimes Gundam feels much like, you could say, Golden Age war movies, where you have like two sides distinctly fighting each other, and they have like two very different ideologies, and there's like a reason for all of this. World War One literature is a bit different in that there's this sense of meaninglessness, but also not just meaninglessness of what is happening, but meaninglessness in war. And also, you could say, as in books like Demian, a loss of value to human life. And in 0080, I feel as though they managed to portray this theme, not necessarily in a subtle manner, but like in a way that feels natural enough that I think it gets its point across, but also I feel makes it more like a more authentic or maybe modern view of war in a franchise or movie series, or
Well, I
movie
think
or
what
series,
you're kind
sorry.
of going towards is the idea of the morbid age, which was the period of kind of transgressive literature which came after World War One and transgressive art, which basically espoused this kind of lack of caring for life and this feeling of futility during war. I mean, stuff like there was this real feeling in Britain at least that you weren't fighting for ideology. You were just fighting for basically what the rich aristocrats wanted you to do. And that comes out in a lot of British literature and also stuff like, say, All Quiet for the Western Front, where you often have people kind of feeling a lot of sympathy for the people on the other side. And definitely, at least the original Gundam, was definitely pulling from, like you said, the golden age of war movies. To me, though, I mean, this does feel very reminiscent of World War One literature in that ideology doesn't really come into it. It's primarily a character piece, and war is ultimately completely meaningless. This isn't democracy versus fascism. There's no real ideological discussions, and I like ideological discussions, but I also like that this is essentially just a character piece where there's no attempt to really excuse anybody for what they're doing. It really is just kind of rumination on a meaningless war, and these people are kind of playing their parts. We're devoid of ideological reasons, like you said.
Yeah. And just like on this idea of violence, my only real exposure to World War One that had any imprint on my mind besides the name Franz Ferdinand, which is basically the extensive American education of World War One, kind of sad, but my only real exposure to World War One was actually through my religious studies class at a university when we read Demian, and
Doesn't surprise me actually, but go on.
the teaching assistants were basically saying, "You guys weren't really taught about this war. This war was a crazy war." So I mean, I don't know much about like the morbid age, but I can definitely tell you about like how crushed Germany was, and this sense of, you're no longer fighting, like, we should no longer fight for just like sides, because that doesn't really mean anything, because people cry out things like justice and freedom, which they don't do in this show, but like in the historical context, well, within like literature context of what I read, people fight for what they believe is right. And in this show, they definitely basically go the route of that, and they basically say, it's hard to say what good and right, what right and wrong is. Someone's probably gonna die if I do something. Someone's probably gonna die if I don't do something.
And a lot of the kind of socialist ideals, they really came to fruition in the First World War. I mean, there was this whole mantra in Britain, which was "Workers of the World Unite," which basically was this idea that the people you were killing were just other workers, just like you, and you were being manipulated by the rich aristocrats to fight this war. I guess the way this relates to 0080 to me is that, like we said, I mean, there's no like Nazification of Zeon here, with the exception of Commander Killing. There aren't really a lot of people flexing their, leather gloves with their dark trench coats. We really do just see the Zeon fighters as people, And at the same time, they're not saying that, oh, we're fighting against the corrupt Federation who killed our families. What they're saying is, especially in the climax of this show, what Bernie says is that they're just soldiers, just like us. And I don't even know why I'm doing this. It's not even for honor. I'm just in this position I've been put into. This really, I mean, that's very different from World War II literature, where you're fighting against fascism. That's very different from the kind of transgressive kind of post-Vietnam literature that I think Unicorn, to an extent, pulls from, of the idea that, yes, we did horrible things, but the Federation is corrupt. This is a very different way of looking at conflicts. It's not just saying that war is bad, but it's more about the futility of war.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting, because it's very difficult to call a lot of Gundams anti-war, because they just get so caught up in the grandeur of action. How can you call Gundam Seed anti-war when it's just filled with beautiful-looking pink mobile suits fighting?
Beautiful light shows.
Beautiful light shows, almost like a concert as music plays in the background. And, you know, the same complaint can be made to most mecha shows in general. But war, you know, if you're trying to make a convincing anti-war piece, you can't get too caught up in that. And I think one of the ways you do that is, I once heard a quote, and I can't remember who it's attributed to, but this military science fiction author described war as 99% boredom, 1% sheer terror. And that's kind of how all the fight scenes go down in this show, is this kind of slow build-up, and then everything goes to hell. People are dying left and right. It lasts a couple of minutes, and then it's done. And, you know, you see the consequences of it. And there's really no, like, even the engagements with the mobile suits are not done in that kind of, like, a really cool action-y way. It just kind of happens very quickly, and they serve as a distraction or whatever. And then afterwards, you get, like, say in episode 4, you get this cool mobile suit fight between the Kampfer and the Gundam Alex. The episode right afterwards is pretty much devoted to showing us what happened after that, where we see children's bodies being kind of, you know, pulled out from the rubble because of this fight. And that's very much, like, of course, I understand that Tsumino was trying to make an anti-war show of previous Gundams, but if you're trying to market this to kids or market it to toy companies, it's very difficult to show stuff like that. And ultimately, I think that's why Gundam 80, of all the Gundams, works best as an anti-war piece. And it does all attribute to this idea of, like, how does this show get made?
Yeah. Because
there's very little fight scenes, and the ones that you do see are interesting, but they're not cool in the way Double-A3's fight scenes are.
Episode 5 doesn't have any fight scenes at all.
Yeah.
It just has, like, moments of violence, and, like, the violence in Episode 5, I think, like back to, like, on what you're saying, reinforces, like, this theme of violence, and, like, this theme that of anti-war, because oftentimes, yes, shows do get too wrapped up in the grandeur of war, but 0080 does it differently, and he does so in a subversive way. One scene in particular that sticks to my mind out of episode 5 is when Al wanders into an arcade, sees guys just playing a video game, and it's just like one of those crazy mobile suit game, well, not mobile suit games, but just like robot games where you go around destroying cities, which Al had actually played earlier. But then you get this montage of where you get the video game and the explosions, and then all of a sudden it just gets like immediately cuts to scenes of like a school being exploded, and then like houses being exploded.
Yeah, the nuclear crisis that you kind of see is coming at that point.
But yeah, the juxtaposition of this sort of play violence, or you could probably say weak violence, that doesn't really have any real like imprinting on you from video games and play, and then the real violence of people being destroyed and homes being destroyed, really like sends across this rather disturbing message of the consumption of violence in media.
I think that's a good point, and I think from a meta perspective, you can almost see this as a comment on Gundam fandom itself, because when this starts, you know, Alfred is the Gundam fan. He's drawing pictures of Zachary's in class. He's playing war. He's saying how cool Zeon is.
He wants to get military badges.
And then over the course of this series, he sees what is not the artificial war that we see in Gundam shows. He just sees this kind of panic and this destruction. And by the end, it's not a game to him. And that seems like a simple message, but taken within the kind of real robot boom that was going at the time, where you did have Japan essentially idealizing war through real robot shows. I wonder if that was an intentional message by the writers.
I wouldn't be surprised, because I've read a lot of, well, not a lot of literature, but there's this strong conservative rage against violence in media. And like when you look to revisionist cinema in America, like the Scorsese and all of them, you see violence, but the violence is disturbing. And I wouldn't be surprised if people saw this and then actually began thinking about it, but I'm surprised that it got in Gundam.
Because you watch 883, which came out a couple of years after this, and they had to have a fight scene every episode. I mean, it's very odd to me this even could get made, as we're saying, because it's a fantastic show, but it definitely avoids every Gundam trope you can think of, and it feels so different from not even just Gundam, but any other real robot show. I can't think of any other real robot show which is such just a staunchly anti-war message as this one has. I guess it was probably a case of, wanting to create a show not made by Tamino for the first time. They probably wanted to do something very different while kind of still honoring the ideas of Gundam. And I guess it was just easier to experiment within the Gundam franchise at that point because maybe the Gundam formula, as it were,
Had not
hadn't.
really been developed.
Yeah, exactly. I
We didn't
mean.
have like Double Zeta or all those other shows yet. It was
Well,
just.
we did have Double Zeta.
Oh, we did? I thought that was 90s.
Double Zeta?
Yeah.
No, Double Zeta was right after Zeta Gundam. That was 80s.
Okay, all right. I'm wrong. Okay.
That's fine.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, what I mean more is like we didn't have tons of Ultimate Universes, which kind of all retread the same formula as we had with Seed and stuff like that, and Wing, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing because a lot of the Gundam I like is essentially regurgitation to the same formula. But I just think this kind of experimentation in general is kind of gone, and this experimentation gave us the best Gundam show, or perhaps the best Gundam show which ever been made. I mean, I'm not saying that something has to be experimental to be good, because I love Unicorn and stuff, but it does make me sad that we don't see stuff like this anymore.
Yeah.
I guess
And
it has to do with the OAV boom as well.
yeah. And I mean, like, just in general, we don't get a lot of anime that actually sit down. I mean, not just from an experimental perspective. I guess you could say it's experimental, but just like the idea of talking about the consumption of media and the consumption of anime. I think the only show that's come close is Tiger and Bunny. And
Maybe.
even that just kind of comes back to glorify it. This show.
This does it in a very subversive way. But even without that, it's just strange that they made such a solid character drama
Yes.
out of the Gundam tropes. I guess I have two theories of why this could be. Do you want me to go into that?
Yeah.
One theory I have is that I have heard, and this could just be fan conjecture, but from what I've heard over the years is that after Shara's counterattack, particularly with the ending with the cycle frame, there was kind of a rift in Gundam fandom between people who were interested in kind of the real robot approach and the kind of Wonder War side stories. And like I've heard that partly one of the reasons that Gundam Sentinel was made was because older fans were wanting something a bit more realistic. So perhaps this was made to appeal to that same group because you don't have any child pilots here. And the fighting does feel a lot more militaristic, and the engagements are smaller. So that could be part of it. I guess another possible reason is I get the impression that maybe they were trying to sell Gundam to the US at this point, because they'd kind of finished up the Universal Century, and they'd probably sold it to South America and stuff, but it still wasn't big in the United States. And around about the same time as this, by the same character designer, you had a book called Emis Era. 001 to 0079, which is a really interesting book, which is essentially the story of Gundam told through photographs, like war journalism. And that book, they released an edition in English. So, yeah, in fact, the first edition they released was in English, and I'm pretty sure they sold it in America. But anyway, so, and also with it, they had like updated mecha designs and a more militaristic look. So I wouldn't be surprised if 0080 was perhaps an attempt to create a less Japanese Gundam, which they could more easily sell to like America and like science fiction audiences there. But that's purely conjecture on my part. It's just my way of trying to figure out how this is made.
I don't really have any explanation.
I guess the other explanation is that Japan had loads of money during...
Yeah. So much money that they just kind of like make something.
But this only works because the writing is so good and the direction is just so well done. And the same concept could have been really cheesy and melodramatic, but there's something just kind of quiet and melancholic, and it never goes too far in what it's trying to say. And the violence never feels gratuitous during wartime. So, yeah.
I don't know why. I put off watching it for a while because I wanted to watch it legitimately. I had essentially seen Andy just go bananas over the show. And then I saw Annan go bananas over the show because it's one of their buried treasures. And it is one of their buried treasures. But when I finally watched it, I found myself basically just like crying. Like after episode 5.
I also cried, especially at the end of the show.
And I think because it's like I had very little. I don't remember how much Gundam exposure I had then.
I know you'd seen Unicorn and you'd seen the original trilogy.
Okay, I guess. Had I? I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. But what I think makes this show work, and I think maybe going back to your first theory on how this was made, is that it's a very contained show. And it's, in a sense, probably because it's so contained and because you don't really need to know about the universe of Gundam to just sit down and enjoy it, I think that makes it something that left me with a very good impression. And it feels like something I could show to a lot of people, but here's what I've noticed when I try to show it to other people, is that they kind of lose interest.
Oh, really?
And I think it's...
I wish it was a movie, then. Because if it was a movie, you could just show it to them in one. And it's basically paced like a movie.
And I don't know, maybe it's because they are, like, the seed people. So, it's like... I think one thing that's having about Al that works for me, but for some reason I don't think has been able to get across to my douchebag floor mates at the university, is because Al is a kid, they expect like a kid's show. And it's like, it has that perspective of the child's. And it does have the naivety, because there's so many scenes where they're just like, we gotta get a badge. Oh, but you can buy these badges at toys. Screw you, you're a girl, you don't know anything. And then you do literally have them saying, hey, we're gonna go play war. And it is like a big game for them. Like, because they're young and they haven't really experienced it. And I don't think the show would work as well if it wasn't for Al being a kid, but I think because he's a kid and maybe because it's a show and the idea that you're going to have to sit through some credits and then you have the option of not watching the next episode, that's the reason why people decide not to.
Right.
Or lose interest.
Al he does seem to be a barrier for some people, and I don't find Al annoying at all. I think it just plays people's perceptions of the show, because they maybe don't expect it to be such a slow burn if it is got that child perspective, and they also probably wouldn't expect it to become as violent and serious as it becomes. because it's the most childish protagonist in Universal Century, but it's also probably the most adult show within it.
Yeah, which here is the irony.
It's sort of like, it annoys me so much, but I love Porco Rosso so much. That's my favorite Ghibli movie. And all these pretentious douchebags who just watch Ghibli because they were told to by the Oscars, they'll give up anything like Spirited Away because it's so Japanese or whatever. But Porco Rosso, they will not watch or they will not enjoy simply because they see the pig guy and they're like, oh, I'm done with this movie. And that to me just, that's so... That's just the aesthetics, and you've got to get over that. And I guess, yeah, that's something that really irritates me, but it's very hard to change people's perceptions on that when they see something which looks like it could be childish from the outset. I don't really have an answer to that, but it is very annoying.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that this production team, maybe they just made another series in the same style, but just from a, like, military perspective. Maybe that would have been a good idea.
Yeah. But, I don't know, I think maybe just, like, self-reflexivity and something, it's like, I didn't expect this. I mean, I honestly, it's like, after sitting in film class, and then, like, hearing all these terminology, I'm not like, how do I apply this to anime? It's all so shallow, right? Like, that was my thought. And then I was just sitting through, and talking about the show on another podcast, right? Because that's what we do here at the Anime Guru. When I mean we, I mean me. And I was like, damn, this happens to be the best Gundam ever made. It wasn't until I was sitting through and I actually began to think about this show. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I think it's what it sets out to do. It achieves better than any other Gundam. And it's by far the best written Gundam, I would say. I struggle, like, I feel like there's the big three that I always think I can't really settle on which is my favorite Gundam, like Unicorn, 0079, or 0080. But what I can say with certainty is that 0080 is the best made, and objectively, 0080 is the best Gundam.
Yeah. I mean, I love those other Gundams, don't get me wrong. And it's not that those shows don't have anything else to them to think about, but... I feel as though this has so many less flaws than them, and it's like just so well executed.
Partly that's because they just told this small short story of a very good staff, great character designer, you know, great the director has done good stuff, the writer's done Oniamis. They didn't try to reach too high, and they just told a very solid, good story. And as much as I love a lot of Gundam, a lot of it kind of spirals out of control towards the end. Which is actually kind of part of the fun of it in a weird way. But certainly, objectively, this achieves what it sets out to do a lot greater than any other Gundam show does. And I love this show to hell. I mean, this is one of my favorite anime, and it's something I always try to get people to watch, but there's a lot of barriers to entry to it.
And it feels so weird that we just, like, assume this, like, we just relate this show to Christmas because, like, the thing in the show, the big conflict, is that unless they can manage to either steal, well, not by this point, unless they can destroy the Gundam that is being produced, and at the colony, a Zeonic fleet is going to come and nuke it.
Yes.
Unless they can get it by Christmas, that like
Which
Christmas appears once.
As melodramatic as it sounds.
Huh?
It's nowhere near as melodramatic as it sounds. It feels a lot more, I guess, smaller than that.
Yeah. It's like...
It's sort of like the people it's trying to appeal to, you know, it's essentially just a rumination on war from a child's perspective, aren't going to watch something with the name Gundam on it. And the people who are typically fans of Gundam just want to see mech battles. So it's a difficult thing to market to an extent.
But, I mean, as sad as that sounds, I'm really happy it got made.
Me too, and there's not a lot of stuff like this in anime, full stop. It's just one of those really classic OAVs, which everybody should watch. And there's in terms of the real robot ideal, I guess you would say, this lives up to that ideal more than Vodoms, more than Dogrum, as much as I love it, more than the original Gundam. And you know, if you're a fan of this genre, you should check it out. But also, if you're a fan of just good anime, check it out.
Yeah.
I do want to go over just like I just want to before we finish this off. Do you have anything else you want to say?
I mean, I feel as though I've gotten everything I need to say, which is weird.
Cool. I just want to go over some kind of like small stuff, just like little things, so we don't regret not saying it.
Yeah.
So I just want to go over like some basic stuff, like mecha designs, even though it seems like not really a big deal of this show. What do you think of those? Because they were done by Izubushi, and they did show up for a little while. They're done by the Pat Labor guy.
Oh yeah. The Comfort definitely feels like a Pat Labor design.
Yeah, it does. Now that you mentioned it, like the legs and stuff really do. I didn't really think about that until now.
Which is probably why I love it so much. And I mean, I really love those Pat Labor designs, and I really
I
love
think
the Comfort design.
the camphor would look amazing with like the sleeves and sticking here from Unicorn. Why hasn't it shown up yet? That'd be so cool. And I like the Federation stuff too, like the GMs here. They're the best GMs I've ever looked, I think.
Like the cold GMs and
They're cool, yeah.
the
And the
Space
Sniper
Command
GMs.
GMs.
Yeah, they're very nice. Also, I hear a lot of complaints about the soundtrack in this show. And while I will say it doesn't really stand the test of time because of that 80s saxophone, which back when pop jazz was a thing, I do like some of the soundtracks. I like the violins, I like the kind of slow guitar stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
And
I think it fits the theme.
I do. Do too, because it's sort of like Wings of Onyamis, in that a lot of it seems like the kind of music that these colonists should be listening to, because it does take place in this kind of 80s suburb.
Yeah.
I guess one last thing, just animation. This is probably, I mean, it's a fantastic looking show, but it's probably the worst looking Gundam OEV. It was made over the course of a year, but it still looks great. And even though the designer primarily worked on Macross, his designs look very Gundam to me, and they really fit.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the only other time that I remember. Okay, never mind. I was trying to think of another time when we saw children in Gundam, and I was thinking Victory Gundam.
Victory Gundam is so does the original.
I keep forgetting that, yeah, we do see a lot of children, but I thought. I love this design way more than the shitty modern lowly designs of 10-year-olds.
Yeah, fuck yeah. But I also like that they don't overly like Nazify the Zeon characters, but they do look kind of rough, and they do look at the same time likable. Yeah, so I guess that's all we need to say.
Yeah. I
We
mean, I
pretty much.
guess, yeah, our final thoughts is that we really love this show.
If you couldn't tell already,
You
we
could.
need to do something we hate just so we aren't always talking about stuff we love.
I hate Bao-o because it's so awesome.
Bao, I think is it pronounced Bao or Bao?
I don't know, but I don't really feel like reviewing that for the next episode.
We've got only yesterday recorded, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, see you guys.
Yeah.